You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Someone was asking me the other day if I lay down on this couch, and I said no, but I want to now, just so that I can say that I did. When we first got married, Kendra and I got married in 1999. I know the date because we're coming up on our 20th anniversary in just a few more months. But we got married in 99, and then right after we got married, we went down to Dallas, and that's where I went to grad school. And if you think this is weird looking at the side of my head, I'm just curious. When we went down to Dallas, we'd never been to Texas before. Honestly, when I went to the school, we applied and just kind of went down to Dallas Seminary in Dallas. And you know, Texas is kind of it's a different animal, definitely. They would be what I would call statriotic, where there's kind of like, yeah, we care about our country, but we care about Texas. And it was a different world. It was definitely hotter than, say, here. August is like, it was in the 110s. But anyway, well, that's not my point. My point is that when we were down there, we missed the Northeast. There's definitely a different culture down there in terms of people. You know, you hear about Southern hospitality and that phrase. And a lot of times that's referring to people just, everybody's really nice. They really are. They're sweet. They're kind. Unfortunately, at least from my perspective, is that's the end of it. And so if you're from the South, sorry, I'm not trying to hit on you or hurt on you or hate on you or whatever, any of those. But in the South, everybody's really nice, but you don't really get to know them. Where I feel like up here, I mean, we're actually, one of the things we're doing next weekend is taking our oldest, actually both of our daughters, to New York City for Kara's 16th birthday. And I feel like in Manhattan, you know, I've been there a number of times, like, people are just mean. Like, they're not nice, but they're real. Like, I don't like you, so I'm just going to be mean to you. Where in the South, it was kind of like everybody's polite, but then never actually goes any further than that. And so all that to say, like, working with students in ministry and everything, it was just kind of hard because you never got past the nice veneer. And so we missed the Northeast. We'd rather have someone that's kind of cold on the front, but when they let you in, it's real and it's authentic. And again, that's just a preference thing. But we missed it so much, and we were just so, like, I'm from Delaware, which is the giant of, like, mountains and hills. I think I told you guys a few months ago about Iron Hill. As a matter of fact, we went down to Delaware for Christmas to my parents' house, and my kids were like, is that a mountain? I'm like, no, that's it. That's Iron Hill. That's it. Because that's all there was in Delaware. But, you know, having gone to school in Pennsylvania and my wife being from Pennsylvania, we missed the mountains. We missed just Texas is just flat. And we had an opportunity one weekend to go down to Austin. And they call Austin the Hill Country. And compared to Dallas, it is the Hill Country. And it's gorgeous. It's really nice. And I remember just how neat it was just to get away and see things that weren't just flat and dry. But the other interesting thing was that my grad school, Dallas Seminary, the campus was downtown Dallas. And so we were actually one block from Baylor University Medical Center. And the campus was also apparently a route between a recycling center and some sort of a shelter or something. Because at 2 a.m., and during, you know, if you had your windows open, you'd hear the grocery carts. And I'm telling you, you could set your clock to it. There was apparently something where people would take their grocery carts full of cans and take them to this recycling center. And I guess 2 a.m. was the time to do it. And so we were there, and it being one block from the medical center, I remember one morning we're laying in bed or asleep overnight, and suddenly an ambulance was going by, and it bleeped its bleep, you know, right at the moment it was under our window. And it was, honestly, there have been a few scary moments like that in my life. Like, it just, wah! I mean, and so everything was light. I mean, I could tell you a really funny story about the squirrel that broke into our bedroom, we thought, and it turned out to be my foot that was the shadow on the wall. because, why am I telling you this? Because in Dallas, where we were, it was always bright. It was always light, like we were in the city, and so there was never any darkness. There was never any time to really appreciate any kind of the scenery or the view or anything like that, because it was a city. And so when we went to Austin, I remember just being amazed at the sky. Because down there, because it was so flat on the way from Dallas to Austin, which is about an hour, 2 hour drive, you could see the curve of the earth. Like there was nothing there. And the skies, and there's a song, the stars that bright are at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas. You know that song? Anyway, if you started that, sort of like when you say, we are! That was really pathetic. But if you say that around here, that's what happens. If you say the stars at night are big and bright, the entire world goes, you know, claps with you. But they really are. It was incredible how bright the stars were. And we're kind of like, what in the world? Where have these been? And the issue was that there were so many other lights that we could never see these stars. And it was actually, to put a punctuation mark, no. An exclamation mark, there we go, which is a punctuation mark. An exclamation mark on it. When we were driving, we were about an hour out from Dallas. Could not see the city, but you could see the glow of the city. Like it was just that bright that you could see how bright the city was. But getting out under the stars, we could see it. It was just, it was beautiful. It was a wonderful experience. And what we realized is that, you know, and we've gone, we actually went down to Austin a couple more times, went to San Antonio just to get out of the city and be able to experience just how beautiful this was. And the reason we couldn't see it wasn't because the stars weren't there, but because there were other things distracting our view. There were other things getting in the way from us seeing these beautiful stars, seeing what was really going on. And so we're on week 3 of this series, Rest. The next week, actually, I won't be here, but I took some time last week to record myself teaching the final week of this series, so you'll get to watch that. Yay! But we're in the third week of this series, and we've been talking about rest. And the first week, we talked about the importance of physical rest and why our bodies need it. And it's an okay thing, and it's not lazy, it's not selfish, it's needed. And then 2 weeks ago, when we last met, we talked about how rest causes us to trust God, because when we're resting, when we're taking that Sabbath, that Shabbat, that break, God has to come through because we're not trying to do and do and do and make it happen. And so I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of rest and more specifically about the idea of distraction. And the point that I want you to get today is that rest allows a busy heart to focus. Rest allows a busy heart to focus. And that was kind of the issue for us in Dallas, was that these stars were there the whole time, but we couldn't see that because we were distracted. We couldn't focus on what was there because of all the other things going on, all the lights, all the glow of the city, all of the sirens and the ambulance sigh. Multiple ambulances? Ambulance sigh? Anyway, no. And so that's what I want to talk about, this idea of focus, because rest forces us to focus because we're busy. I mean, Kirk prayed about it. You know, we're busy. We got stuff going on. We're always doing. And in the process of doing, not only does it affect our health, our physical health by not resting, not only does it affect our ability to trust God, because we don't need to trust God because we're solving it, but it also affects our focus and our ability to focus on Him. And so we're going to read a passage from Luke chapter 10 this morning. And if you have your Bibles, if you have a paper Bible, you can turn there to Luke 10. And we're going to be looking at verses 38 to 42. If you have the YouVersion app, just tap on 10 or tap on Luke, tap on 10 and at 38. And of course, it's also on the screen. And so here's the passage. And you might have heard this story before, especially if you've grown up in church or even been here for a couple of years. Because we talked about it a few years ago. It says this: as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So I want to talk about something with this passage, because I don't know, again, if you grew up in church, you might have heard this passage and maybe it communicated different ways, and this is good and this is bad, or this is right, this is wrong, or these are both right. And I want to break down this idea that there's an assumption here sometimes in the way this is communicated, and that is that Mary loved Jesus and had her heart in the right place, and Martha was a sinner and an awful person. Like, and I want to break down something here, and that's not true. That's not what's going on in this passage. And so it's important because it's easy for us, if we're resting and focusing on Jesus, to be like, yeah, see, I'm just being a Mary. I love Jesus. And you're being a Martha because you're doing stuff and Jesus doesn't love you. To make it some kind of a negative thing where Jesus isn't doing that. And so it's easy for us, if it's a good and bad, to be like, oh, that's right, this is wrong. And then it makes it easy. It makes it black and white. It makes it simple. Whether we do it is different, but it makes it simple. But I want you to understand it's not simple. Because this isn't an issue of right and wrong. This is an issue of good versus best. And there's a difference there. I hope you understand that. There are things that are good. They're not wrong. They're not sinful. They're not inappropriate. But they're not necessarily the best thing that you could do. Do you understand that? Like, there's good and there's best. And good isn't wrong. Good isn't bad. But sometimes best is, well, best. And I want to look at this passage and look at Mary and Martha and talk about this idea of good versus best. Because when we look at it that way, it suddenly, well, it makes it a little bit harder, frankly, because it's not quite as clean. It's not as easy for us to make them the bad guy and make them the good guy, because it's a little bit grayer. And let me be honest. Because it's gray, it's harder for us to ignore it. If it's black and white, we can just be like, oh, well, I'm just not a Martha. I'm a Mary. It's okay. I'm good. But when it's gray like this, it means we have to really focus in and say, okay, am I truly a Mary or a Martha? And is it bad if I'm a Martha? Maybe not. But do I need to be a Mary? And we'll talk about what that means here in a second. But I want to talk about this. When we talk about focus, it allows us to be in the moment. And I don't know about you. I love technology. As a matter of fact, I just turned on my camera. Sorry. there you go. If you pay very close attention to the next week's video, you'll see I accidentally turned on my flashlight. it's like shining around. Anyway, I love technology. I love that I can do everything on my phone. I'm so excited about this next week's trip to New York, and I've got all the different apps for all the different places, my hotel app, and I've got the MTA app for the metro, and I've got the parking app, and I've got all these different things, and I love having all that in my pocket. I love that I can do it anywhere. I love that I can, right now I can send a text to any of you, and you can communicate with me. And there's all these different things that we can do with technology. The problem is technology also doesn't allow us to be present in the moment. Because right now, I could be with someone across the world, and you're right in front of me. And I could miss something that's going on because of the distractions. I could be in the middle of Texas with the curve of the earth and the beautiful stars in the sky, but not see them because of all the city lights around me. And I want to talk about this idea of focus and being in the moment when it comes to Mary and Martha. Again, this idea of good versus best. First thing we see here is that Martha offered hospitality to Jesus. And this is a good thing. This is good. So we need to understand that. Again, breaking down this wall, breaking down this idea of Martha is bad and evil and Mary is good. Martha is good and Mary did some things that were best. And so this is what you see in the first part of the verse. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And that word welcome is this idea of to entertain, to take under one's care, to receive guests, to be hospitable. And frankly, we're told to be hospitable. Throughout the Bible and other spots, it says, we should be hospitable to one another. We should be welcoming. We should be willing to care for others. I mean, that's part of who we are as a church. C3 is caring. And so this is a good thing. So it's not that Martha was like, I don't care. Martha, she took them in. She cared for them. She cared for him and brought him into her home. And frankly, I mean, that's farther than I would like to go. Like, I like quiet and solitude. Jesus at the door. Can he come back later? Like, maybe you can invite him in. I mean, and I just have issues. I mean, I won't call the pizza people. I don't like talking on the phone. Like, I'll get my kids to call. I'll go pick it up. I'll go make it. But I just don't want to call. I don't and so here's Martha. She's welcoming Jesus into her home. She's entertaining him. She's bringing him under her care. And that's a good thing. But then when you compare it to Mary, Mary devoted time to Jesus. And this is best. So Martha offered hospitality. She cared for him. She welcomed him. Mary devoted time to Jesus. And that was best because it wasn't a bad thing. But what did Mary do? She was interested in the time spent with Jesus. And the passage goes on here in verse 39 and says, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. And that's what it means. She sat there and listened. She sat there in his presence and listened. And I don't know what it's like in your house. I don't know what your situations are, but there is nothing. When I'm talking to someone and they're just doing this, and they are probably listening to me, but are you listening to me? I want your attention. Like, I'm listening. It's okay. I want your attention. Why? Because this shows respect. Or this shows disrespect, I guess you could say. This shows respect. When it's important, it can wait just a couple of seconds while I listen to you. And I'm not trying to sound like an old guy. Hey, kids these days. But there's something about that connection. There's something about that personal relationship that even here, I'm not in the moment. I'm not present. I'm present with here and whatever else is going on. It might be an important thing. It might be that I really need to know because that deal of the day is about to end and I need to hit buy. I mean, who knows what it's going to be? But when you put that aside, you're present. You're in the moment. And that's where Mary was here. She was with Jesus. She was sitting at his feet listening to what he taught. And that, in this spot, as we'll see, was best. Because Jesus was there. Because the focus on Jesus is what mattered in that moment. So we get that? So Martha is not, it's not like Jesus is like, oh, don't show hospitality. It's just that there's times when our focus on Jesus is best. So the next thing we see here is that you have Martha. Martha leaned into her ministry to Jesus. Martha leaned into her ministry to Jesus, which is good. Ministry is good. We have people that are wearing green shirts and orange shirts they're wearing shirts, but not those shirts, that are serving all over this building right now. And that's good. And there's nothing bad about that. And that's what we see here in the next part of the verse. It says then, but Martha, it says, was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. So she was distracted. All of a sudden, she couldn't focus on the things that mattered because of, and here's the crazy part about this, right? The word here, this was written, Luke was written in Greek. That was the language that they wrote in. And the word for preparing is diakonos, which means ministry. So here you've got Martha, and if I mix these names up, I hope you're following me. Martha, Mary, Mary, Martha. You've got Martha, that's what we're talking about right now. She is doing ministry. She is diakonos. The word deacon comes from that. So it's not like she's over here, you know, doing porn or she's selling drugs or like, no. She's doing ministry. But she was distracted by ministry and missed the fact that Jesus was there. And the word distracted means to be pulled away. And have you been pulled away? Are there things that have been pulling you away from what really matters? Even if they're good things. Because she recognized, she didn't recognize, but Mary recognized that Jesus was there. And that's what's continuing on. Mary, while Martha leaned into her ministry to Jesus, Mary leaned into her relationship with Jesus. She was interested in the relationship, and that, in this instance, was the best thing. And I guess you can kind of see the parallel here as we're going on here. When you talk about ministry versus relationship, you know, you can do a lot of good things for God, and we're going to talk more about that next week. But sometimes God doesn't want you to do things for him. He wants you to be with him. God doesn't want you to be, you know, really helpful and on and going. And yeah, look at all the things I'm doing for you, Jesus. And he's like, yeah, but what about our relationship? You know, and it's the same thing. I mean, it's the lie of adulthood, of lie of parents, I guess. Well, you know, Dad, why aren't you ever home? Because I'm working to provide for you, son. But I never see you, Dad. but you're getting provided for. And you know what? I think a lot of times kids don't really want to be provided for as much as they want to be present with their parents. So Mary leaned into her relationship with Jesus, and that was what is best. Continuing on in the second part of verse 40, it says, then she, meaning Martha, came to Jesus and said, Lord, I mean, do you hear this? These are adult women talking to Jesus, the Son of God. It's not fair. Like, fair was banished from my household growing up because that was the thing. But it's not fair. But it's not fair. But it's not fair. And, you know, as I said in church, like, we talk about Jesus and the things that we have to go through sometimes. But it's not fair. And God's like, well, if it was fair, you'd go to hell. Because I took your sin. That wasn't fair. You would get what you deserve. But anyway, that's off the subject. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here? And here's the thing. She says, while I do all the work. And there's that word again. That work word is ministry. And the word ministry actually isn't referring to the action, the relationship, but the actual thing that you do. So like, Jesus, isn't it unfair? My sister is sitting here while I am doing stuff. I am doing ministry. There is a concrete ministry that I have got going on here. And she's just listening. She's just sitting there. And there's again, that word, the way it was used, is very intentionally saying that Martha wasn't interested in the relationship. She was interested in doing the good thing, in doing the ministry, in serving. And again, not a bad thing, but she was distracted. And meanwhile, her sister Mary was interested in the relationship. She was saying, I'm not here to do, I'm here to be. And I think sometimes we messed that up. We're human doings, not human beings. And so Mary did what was best. Continuing on, then you've got Martha. See, I did it again. Martha, and get this, Martha did good things for Jesus. These weren't bad things. Again, if we've not gotten that idea, this wasn't sin, this wasn't wrong. These were good things that she was doing. She did good things for Jesus. And then continuing on, the passage says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, your translation might say, Martha, Martha. Like this word dear, this idea of repeating her name. Like there is love in this. Jesus this isn't a you awful person. This is Martha, I love you. You're worried and upset over all these details. And Jesus is redirecting her there and saying, look, these details, and some translations say you're worried and upset over many things. He doesn't say you're focusing on sin. He says you're worried about these many details, these many things. And right now, and as we'll see in a moment, that's not the point. That's not the goal. And good things are good. But when we take the time to rest, we can focus on the best things. And sometimes we need to stop doing and stop doing many good things. Do you get this? I don't know what you're like. I mean, I'm a doer. I have a to-do list. I have a checklist. I have an Evernote to-do list that you know, just you know, being honest with you, if I did something and it wasn't on my list, I write it on my list so I can check it off. I'm just saying, I like to do stuff. I have my Echo set up so that I can, Alexa, so I can cancel, so that I can talk to my device to add things to my to-do list. Like, I'm a doer. I want to get things done. And it's so, for me, it would be so easy for me to say, God, look at all the things I do for you. Look at what I do. Look what I've accomplished. Look at the things I did today. Look at my list, God. Look at all the things. And if I don't focus on my relationship with him, none of that matters. Because the relationship is the key. And that's my challenge. That's why, I mean, you might have come across this when, you know, you get in touch with me in the morning. I don't respond on weekday mornings because that's my study time. That's my time with God. And I'm not willing to sacrifice that because if I start to, and again, and I'll probably talk about this a little bit later too, but, you know, I'm one of these, I'll just real quick check my email. And then an hour later, I'm playing Angry Birds. Like, I don't, like, how does this even happen? Like, just real quick, this is one thing. It's because I get distracted and I lose my focus. And doing many things is not always the best thing. It might be a good thing, but it's not always the best thing. And that's where we get Mary. And what did Mary do? Mary did one thing for Jesus. She focused on one thing. What was that one thing she focused on? It was the relationship with him. It was saying, okay, right now you are here. Your presence, you're with me. My attention belongs to you. I need to be in this moment. And so she focused on Jesus. And that's what he commends Mary for. He goes on to the passage and says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. There's only one thing that is needed. There's only one thing that matters in this moment. And that's your relationship with me. Not doing ministry. Not doing stuff. Not being busy. The thing that matters right now is focusing on me. And she found that thing. And the word discovered, she's searching for it. Like, how many of us are searching? And we'll talk more about this next week, too. This idea of searching, and what are we looking for? And Jesus, like, Mary found what matters. And it's focusing on a relationship with Jesus. And he says, Martha, being busy doesn't get it. But when you rest, then you can focus on the things that matter. So, this is an issue of good versus best. And why I think this is such a challenging thing is because, again, if it was right and wrong, it's easy to kind of pick and choose. But when it's good versus best, it means you are going to have to look at yourself and determine, is this good? Maybe. If it's bad, don't do it. That's out of the question. But is it the best thing that I should be doing? Should I be spending my time doing this, or maybe doing this good thing, or maybe doing this thing that's better? Maybe focusing on things that matter. And I can't answer that for you, and you have to have that conversation with God. And in our creative team meeting, when we were discussing this series a few months ago, I don't know when that was, in December maybe, we were talking about, you know, how it's easy to be busy, because when we're busy, we don't actually have to think about ourselves. We don't have to look inside. We can be so busy and doing that we don't need to actually go, maybe I'm not doing the right things. We don't need to make a decision. We can just keep going and ignore the problems in our own heart and the things we're avoiding in our own heart. But when we rest, we are forced to focus. And I mean, again, I'm a busy person. Without sounding, well, it might be slightly embarrassing, but there's a whole lot of content that comes together for the point when I am not wearing any clothes. When I'm in the shower, there's nothing else going on, and I have all this freedom to think. The other time is when I mow the lawn, so you can think about that time instead. When I mow the lawn, the hum of the lawnmower, and just that there's nothing else to focus on, and that is, I'm like, okay, let's have some breathing here. What's going on in my life? What do I need to consider? How do I want to teach this? Because when there's all these other things, when there's my notifications always coming through, when there's the different things beeping and dinging, and there's the people knocking on my door, and there's the phone calls, and there's the, hey, Dad, can I tell you this thing? And there's the video game, there's the TV show that I want to finish up, and there's so many things that get in the way of that. And we need to realize that I don't think any of those things I just shared are bad. But are they the best way to use my time? Are they the best thing that I should be doing? And that's the question that we need to answer. When we look at Mary and Martha, Martha did what was good. Mary did what was best. And we need to look at the spots in our lives and say, okay, in this moment, I don't mean as a whole. It's a moment-by-moment thing. Because there's plenty of time where Martha should be ministering and serving. And frankly, so should Mary. But in that moment, focus was what mattered. Focusing on Jesus because he was there. And so that's the challenge, that's the struggle, is to figure out what's the difference between good versus best. Because it's easy to say, oh, that's wrong, I'm not going to do that. But when this is not a bad thing, but maybe there's something better that I should be doing, it sometimes becomes more of a challenge. So the point this week is that rest allows a busy heart to focus. It forces that time. And sometimes, and maybe that's your answer, how do you determine what's good versus best? Maybe you need to stop and see what happens. You know, and we talked about this last time we met, about the idea of trust and how we feel like it's our responsibility to do it. If I don't do it, no one's going to do it. And God's like, shut up. No, I've got this. It's not yours anyway. That's my translation, paraphrase. But this idea of stopping, and there's a lot of things that we do that are good, and we think, well, I have to do this. And maybe we don't. Maybe that's an opportunity for us to say, no, what? Maybe in this moment I shouldn't be doing this thing, but I should be reading my Bible. Maybe in this moment I shouldn't be worried about this important issue over here, but I should be spending time with my kids. Good, best, I don't know. You need to figure that out. But I know that rest allows us time to focus because we are so busy and our culture is just getting busier and busier and busier. Everything is about multitasking, and that's what your kids are. I know they're doing games right now. Kendra's teaching upstairs and Cara's teaching the preschool. They're doing games about multitasking and things. How can you do many things at once? And there's scientific evidence beyond the Bible, just in case you care, that multitasking is not a good way to do things. You get far less done when you try to do a whole bunch of things at the same time than when you focus on doing one thing. And rest forces that. So, let's make it a little bit more personal. And I want to throw out this idea that we talked about in our creative team meeting. And that is this. It's a simple little phrase that I'd never heard this, but it was thrown out. And I'm like, I love this. God is not a vitamin. God is not a vitamin. And you'll have a chance to chew on this a little bit more in your prime groups this week. But I get up in the morning, and I'll read my Bible, and then I'll go and work out, and then I'll come upstairs, and I'll get breakfast. And I always set my vitamins there. I have three vitamins I take. I was actually thinking about this when I was preparing, and like, I know I take a multivitamin. I take like this probiotic thing because I've got like an acid reflux thing. And then I take vitamin D. And I was going, I can't remember why I take vitamin D. And then I remember Kendra's like, Alzheimer's runs in your family. And vitamin D has been proved to help Alzheimer's, which I am not kidding. Like that is totally. So I take these vitamins. And I set these vitamins. And what I do is once a day I take it. And what does it do? It gives me all I need for the day. Pop, done. It's simple. It's easy. If I wanted to get all those vitamins, and I'm not a vitaminologist, but if I wanted to get all those things, you know, I'd have to eat like beef and vegetables and cow, I guess that's beef, and grains, which I guess are, anyway, you have to eat all these things to get all the different nutrients that are in a multivitamin. Instead, I can just pop it in and be done with all that. Now, I still eat, but you know what I'm saying? This idea of a vitamin, we have this mentality, I think, that God is a vitamin. Like, let me do my God thing real quick. Okay, God, I got it in. I read that whole verse by myself. I'm done. Good God, right? We're cool. And we've missed the fact that that's not a relationship. God isn't a vitamin. God isn't someone you just pop. Okay, I'm good to go. Did my thing. Showed up. Check. Showed up at church. Did my job today. I'm good for the month. Sat down and looked at my kids and said, hi. Hey, that was a conversation. I'm good. And we've got this idea that God is a vitamin that's something we can pop. And it's just not the case. It's a relationship. And when we rest, it forces that focus. And so I want to, again, getting a little personal here, talk about some things you can't do when you're busy. Things that you can't do when you're busy. Because we have this idea that, oh, I can just do this, I can do it. And I'm not saying this is like completely impossible, but it's certainly, and maybe you can do these things good when you're busy, but you certainly can't do them best when you're busy. And again, coming back to this idea of saying, I want to rest so that I can focus. The first thing is that you can't request when distracted. And what I'm talking about request here is because I needed an R word. Prayer. Like you can't, and I'm not saying you can't. We looked in when we did the wall series about Nehemiah, and the king brought him in, and he's like, oh no, what am I going to do? And he quickly prays to God. God, help me here right now, make me your sister, okay, good. And he was right in the room in the presence with the king. Like, I'm not saying you can't and you shouldn't pray like that. You can. But when you talk about actual prayer and communication with God, you can't do it rushed. You can't do it in a room. You can't actually have it. I mean, imagine having a conversation with someone that mattered to you in the way that we pray. I mean, hey, how you doing? By the way, can I have this? Okay, good. Wait, but I'm not done. I don't care. Like just asking someone for what you like. Don't we often do that with God? It's our prayer request list. And it's not a bad thing, but it's not necessarily the best thing. You can't do that when you're distracted. When you're busy, you can't spend time truly communicating with God. And this, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is actually here talking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, that were making prayer about how amazing they are and how wonderful they are. And they would pray out in public. And Jesus basically says right to them, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who like to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. He says, I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. And we can talk about that some other time. But he says this, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, understand, this passage, Jesus is talking about arrogance and about using prayer in a wrong way. But in that, Jesus makes a statement here about going off by yourself. And as we looked at 2 weeks ago, how Jesus took time to go away by himself. Why? The Son of God. To pray to his Father. His heavenly Father. And so there's something here about you can't pray when you're busy. You can't do it when you're constantly going. You need to say, I'm going to take a rest. And whether that's a 5 minute period, that's fine. I bet you that's probably 4.5 minutes more than we often pray. But to say, okay, this is time that's focused on God. And I think there's something, you know, about going into a room, closing the door, leaving your phone outside. To say, I'm focusing on Jesus. Because we can't pray. We can't request when you're distracted. It's not what it should be. It's possible, but it's not the relationship that Jesus is asking for, that Jesus wants. Like, hey, this is more than just your to-do list, your request list. So the first thing you can't do when you're busy is you can't request when distracted. The next thing you can't do is you can't remember. You can't remember when distracted. And I'm talking about here, like, there are things there are things that we know that are right and that are wrong, I think. And I'm talking for you, not just the world in general or those people don't know right from wrong. I'm saying you. That there are things that, like, this is wrong. And you know it's wrong. But sometimes we get so busy that wrong thing that we remembered is wrong, we forget that it's wrong and do it. Or maybe God has called you and said, this is what I want you to do. This is the direction I want you to head. And you're like, yes, God, I know that this is what you want me to do. And then time passes, we get busy, and we never actually do the thing that God has called us to do. We have that moment where you're like, okay, God really, you know, God wants me to go on a missions team. Time passes, well, I'm too busy, I don't remember. And we don't remember these things that are supposed to be done because we get so busy, because we get distracted. And there are things, again, that decisions you've made, this is it, I'm drawing a line in the sand, I am not going to do that again, or I'm going to change the way I do this, or I'm going to deal with that person in an appropriate way. I'm going to forgive that person. Whatever. We make these decisions. Then we get busy. And it's going to happen. I'm just telling you. It's going to happen in about, let's say, 12 minutes. 12 to 15, 20 minutes, depending on how I go. Because we're like, wow, you're right. Yeah, okay. And as soon as the music starts playing, as soon as you walk out, you start having conversations. You get in the car with the lunch plan. Blah, 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 and all of a sudden, it's over. And the idea of what God wanted you to do is gone. And so you can't remember when distracted. And I want to just share this passage in 2 Peter. This is Peter writing to a bunch of people, to a church. And he says just before this, he's talking about how God has called us. And God is incredible. And it's amazing. And we, because he is so amazing, we should live for him every day. And wow, how amazing it is that we've been called by this holy God that says, I chose you and you are mine. And he goes on and then says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things. Okay, just listen to how many times he says this. Even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught. It's easy for us to be like, oh, I already know that. No, he's saying, I'm reminding you. He says, and it is only right that I should keep on reminding you. He's going to keep reminding the church. We need to keep reminded about this. How long? As long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So what are you going to do, Peter? So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. Peter is saying, look, God has called us. It's an amazing thing. We should live for him. And I'm going to keep telling you and reminding you how important that is. Because when we're busy, we don't remember those things. We get distracted and we forget. And when we get distracted and forget, then we don't do what God has called us to do. We don't do the things we're supposed to do. And Peter's like, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to remind you. Peter, what is your deal? Well, let's look at Matthew and see what Peter's deal is. Now, Peter was sitting, this is past. We've now zoomed back in time, a flashback. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard with a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. Continuing on. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them. This part would be bleeped out. I don't know the man. Bleep, bleep. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. We're talking a matter of days. Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no way. He gets caught up in the moment, gets caught up in the action of the trial. And that's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. And then after three times the rooster crows, he remembered. He remembered. And what did he do? He went outside and wept bitterly. And some of you, there's two sides of this. Some of you guys, some of us, me, I mean, we need these moments where we weep bitterly because we remember, wait, this is what God has called me to do. This is the direction that God has me on. This is what God wants me to do in my life. This is the person that God wants me to fix the relationship with. This is the way God wants me to trust him. And we need to remember it. And we need to weep bitterly and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've gotten off of the path that you had set before me. And we can do that when we rest, when we take the time to go, okay, God, what have you called me to do? And let me put it on the other side of this, too. If we are in a constant state of reflection, of focusing, of rest, we can get to these moments and not have to weep bitterly because we're like, right, this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to keep doing it. Oh, right, this is what God wants me to do, I'm going to keep doing it. Rather than ending up over here and wondering, why didn't it work out? What happened? Because we're so busy, we get so distracted that we miss out on that. So you can't request when distracted. You can't remember when distracted. And the next thing is you can't read, asterisk, when distracted. You can't read and apply when distracted. And again, I don't know what it's like for you, and I've gotten into these modes. Certainly, like, I've got something exciting I want to do. I try to make it a priority before I get out of bed to read my Bible, just because I get out of bed every day, and so if I can put it with reading my Bible, just like I do my side bends when I brush my teeth, because I have to brush my teeth every day. And it's working on my extra, I think. but how many times am I like, okay, read the verse, okay, I'm done, good, all right. What's going on today? Today I get to go out and mow the lawn, because I like lawn work. It's like my thing. But when we're so busy, when we're distracted, we can't actually read and apply. And by the way, that reading, that doesn't do anything. Like, I don't know if you ever read like an owner's manual for certain things? You're like, I don't know what I just read. It doesn't make any sense. At Student Prime the other night, I explained a game. And I explained it. And I went through all the different nuances of the rules and there were hands. What about this? What about that? Okay. And nobody understood what we were about to do at all. I mean, I didn't, and I was explaining the rules. But then when we actually did it, all of a sudden they're like, oh, I get it, psychiatrist, okay. And all these pieces started to fit together. And And I think that's what happens. We read and we don't get it. We don't apply it. We don't actually take what God wants us to learn from it because we're so busy. We want to get through. We want to get it done. And maybe instead of just saying, I'm going to do this, you know, quickly, maybe we say, I need to set aside some time. And again, maybe that's just a five-minute window. And even if you read one verse and just sit there and go, for 4.5 minutes, maybe that's what God wants to do. And this is what James says about this idea. James was the half-brother of Jesus. And he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. And again, if you've got that vitamin idea that I'm just going to read real quick and God's cool and I'm good, like James says, you're a fool. If you think that just reading the Bible is good, you know, carrying it around with me, nobody ever does that. Okay, I've got it on my I just took a picture again. Sorry. I've got it on my phone, so I'm good. Like, no, James, like, you're a fool. It's not about reading it. It's about doing what it says. It says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. So it's just like, he's like, you know, have you ever done that? You're like, is there something? Is there something on my face? Or you know, here's the best thing, where you're talking to someone and they're like looking at your mouth the whole time. Or looking, and if you really want to weird people out, just look at their hair the whole time you're talking to someone, because they're like, what's up there? What's going on? And you know, if they're close, they'll probably say something to you maybe. But you're like, what are they looking at? And so you go to the mirror and, okay, is there something there? Is it my hair messed up? That's what I do all the time. And like, okay, good, it's not my hair. But he's saying, like, it's like, okay, is there something in my teeth? You go to the mirror and walk away and you're like, oh, wait, did I actually go, did I do what I was looking for? Did I actually look in the mirror and remember that, oh, right, there is a gigantic piece of broccoli in my teeth? He says, that's what it's like if you don't actually apply God's word. And again, maybe it's because I don't have enough vitamin D, but I'll find myself, okay, I got to go down to the basement and get more pellets. And I'll go down to the basement and I'll, like, you know, mess around with the TV down there, and I'll sort the boxes that are sitting off on the side, and I'll be like, oh, why is that light on? Kids, who left that light on? Why are these things here on the steps? And then I'll get back upstairs and be like, wait, why did I go down there? And that's what James is saying. He's like, if you're not applying it, it's the same thing. But if you look carefully, how do you look carefully? It takes time. It takes rest. It takes focus. It takes intentionality. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And that's what we've talked about before, you know, blessing and obedience, they're tied together, and blessing is obedience. God says, I've given you my word, I've given you my instructions. If you do them, things will be good. If you choose to ignore them, that's called sin. It's outside of my goal for you. But do them, and things will be good. And so that's what James is saying, and that's why when we're busy, you can't read and apply when you're distracted. You just can't. And again, there's nothing wrong with quickly reading the Bible, or if you're sitting on the, you know, in your break room, you're like, hey, I'm going to read some of the Bible. That's great. But just remember that there's more to it than just reading it. It's about applying. It's about saying, how is this going to change me in here? And it takes time to do that. And again, it doesn't need to be like, oh, I'm going to sit down and read Deuteronomy because that's what Sean said I need to do. Like, good luck with that in one sitting. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's good. But, like, just what if you just read, like, a verse and then said, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? What does God want me to do with this verse? What is it saying? And you can do that when you've got time, when you've got margin, when you're in the moment. And then finally, the last thing is that you can't reflect when distracted. Have you ever sat down and just appreciated life? Have you appreciated what is going on in your life? This idea of reflecting on what is God doing? If you're like, oh, I want to see God do something miraculous. I wish God would show up like a burning bush or on the light road of Damascus. Have you looked around? God is doing some incredible things. Have you taken a breath right now? Amazing! Like, all the way, all the different parts of our body works together to do all this stuff. That's incredible. Have you looked outside at the sky? Have you considered the fact that, okay, like, it's in the mid-40s and raining, and an hour later it's like 3? What? How does this happen? Like, because God is amazing. And when we're so busy, we don't see those things. We miss those things. And I'm not just talking about the amazing glory of creation, which is part of it, but even the things in our own lives. We miss what God is doing. In Psalm 19, David says this. He writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." The skies, the heavens, the stars proclaim what God is doing, how incredible God is. They don't have any mouth, and it says day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. David's like, look around, people. God is amazing. His creation is telling it. Your body, the fact that you woke up, the fact that, like, I've been working on drywall in our kitchen. And it has worn me out to the point where I will sit down at the end of the day and I'm just asleep. And I wake up refreshed. I'm like, that is the weirdest thing. It just happens. Like, sleep. It doesn't make sense. I didn't plug into anything. And that's the way, that's how you recharge something, right? Because God is incredible. And that's why we have God moments in prime groups. It's so that we can reflect on what is God doing around you. What is God doing in your life? What is God doing in the lives of people around you? And let's be honest. Many times the most reflection we get is the moment the prime group leader says, okay, it's time for God moments. And you're like, what have I seen God do? It's been a week. It's been 2 weeks now. What has happened? And David's like, just look around. Take time and reflect and realize that God is doing incredible things all around you and in you and through you. But we don't see those things when we're busy. We don't see those things when we're distracted because we're so busy doing that we miss them. We don't see those things because when the lights are on, you don't see the stars. But when you turn off the lights, turn off the lights. There's stars above you, at least back there. Ooh, they've been there the whole time. Did you know that? They've been on the whole time. Because that's the thing. Like, when we're distracted, we don't see these things. We miss out on what God is doing. So you can't request when distracted. You can't remember when distracted. You can't read when distracted. You can't reflect when distracted. These are all things that God has created us for rest. It's time to say, okay, this is a good thing, but maybe I need to do what's best. And the best thing is that focus, that relationship with Jesus. And that's the point. Rest allows a busy heart to focus. What good thing are you doing that you need to give up for the sake of something that is best? And I'll be willing to bet it's tied into to rest. It's tied into taking a break. It's tied into pausing so that you have a moment to reflect on the things that really matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that even in something as simple as rest and focus, you've given us directions 2,000 years ago. And it still applies to us today. Maybe even more so with all the distractions around us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to really look deep, to look in our lives and in each moment of our lives, each situation that we find ourselves in, and certainly ask the question if it's good or bad. If it's bad, ditch it. But then to say, is this a good thing or is there something that's best that I need to do? Help us to see the difference between the two so that we can focus on you, so that we can focus on being in the moment and having that relationship with you that matters. Because that relationship is the most important relationship that we can develop. And obeying you is the best possible thing that we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.